Welcome to Church 307, Wyoming's online church. We are glad you're here. We have a great episode for you. And just to show that you believe that, would you please hit the like button right now? Name it, claim it, put it in there. Like, subscribe, share this with your friends, your family, your enemies, your coworkers. We don't care who you share it with. It just needs to get out there. Today, we are talking about a topic that's going to be good. And Mike has all of the answers lying in the sand. We would be talking about heaven today. What is it like? What is heaven? So Grant, with that, kick it.
Yep, yep. Send it.
So again, thank you for joining us. I get to sit down with two gentlemen today. Mike Wilson.
Yo.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are also sitting down here with
a man that has led us bravely
for how many years now? Have you been the vice chairman of the board?
How many years have you been pastor here? Lead pastor?
Seven?
Six? Some.
Yeah, a few.
Yeah, so Richard Dickey is the vice chairman of our board, fearless leader of our church, a lay pastor, we would say, in our church.
And, I would dare say.
Yes. And he is here to join us to talk about heaven today. Thanks for joining us, Richard.
No problem. Glad to be here.
Took time off work to come and do ministry.
I just started my day a little bit earlier.
Okay. So you got that flexibility.
Absolutely.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, so Richard, chairman of the board. Also, his wife is one of our worship leaders here.
Absolutely.
And one of Mitch's best volunteers.
I think one of our churches.
Yes.
I mean, she's great.
She is.
She's pretty good.
She carries a little. She is also my insurance agent.
Also, she's my wife, so.
Okay.
Oh.
She has taught me a lot about grace and mercy, so. Unconditional
love. Graceful for you, or you're graceful for her?
She has shown me.
Okay, yeah. There you go. Let's talk about heaven. I want to start today by reading a passage from Revelation where John has a vision of what we call heaven. He says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea." So in ancient times, they saw the sea as a place of evil, and there were portals at the bottom of the sea that opened to hell, and that's why there were these sea creatures that they were terrified of. And they didn't really have any way to verify this because they didn't have scuba gear to go down and check on it. But right. Sea was also the place where enemies would come and attack. And so they just saw the sea as an evil place. And so when he says there's no more sea, he's just talking about evil is gone. The access that hell has to earth is done. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them." That is what heaven is, the presence of God. "They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes." That's that. I think that's not just a statement about there not being any more pain in heaven, but also the pain that we feel as a result of the things happening on earth. Like, that's usually what we cry about, is things that have happened. We're mourning losses. We're mourning the things that happened. No longer will we mourn those things. We're not going to be sad about the events that happened in our past. The tears will be wiped away. "There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." And if there is no more death, that means there's no more sin. Because the wages of sin, we talked about it last week, the wages of sin is death. And if there's no more death, that means there's no more sin. And so what a beautiful picture of heaven. And I think it gives us a good concept of what we have to look forward to. But do we actually look forward to heaven? I know that that's kind of the religious thing to say. But often when I talk to people about heaven, I hear more fears about heaven and questions and wonderings about heaven than actually looking forward to it. Do you guys look forward to heaven?
It depends on the day.
Yeah?
Some days more than others.
If you're hating your life here, you're like,
absolutely.
I need a different one.
You're like, heaven sounds good.
Yeah.
I think that, yeah, a lot of the arguments for, you know, for fears of heaven, what am I going to do there? What's it going to be like? You know, the Bible tells us that we've got nothing to compare it to.
Right.
We're clueless.
Yeah.
So I take that to heart.
Huh.
And I don't fear heaven. I look forward to it, but I also know that this life is a gift and is there's something to this life.
Yeah, you got purpose
this
here.
World. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't want to look ahead to heaven and miss out on what I'm supposed to be doing here either. So I don't have any fears about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of mine would be because I'm just selfish and I do like living here.
Yeah.
I love my family, people around me. It's hard to think of myself.
He's watching, so you have to
say
that.
Yeah. Yep. Hostage situation. Good call. But like it makes it actually it's more so thinking of me not being with them is what the thought I don't like. Heaven, I imagine, is going to be pretty great.
Yeah.
So
I think when I think about heaven, it's usually the fear I feel is leaving my sons behind.
Yeah.
Like I'm assuming my wife and I are going, it may not be true, but I assume we're going there about the same time. She's way more healthy than I am. So I'm on, but me, it's like, I got to make sure my kids have what they need and I've prepared them well. And so that I don't leave them too early. I need to take care of my body. So usually my thoughts about heaven center a lot around my kids.
Yeah, that's kind of a reminder. And like as far as like what does heaven look like, I imagine it would be a lot. It's gonna be like, I know people talk about the harps and the singing and that kind of a heaven, but I kind of feel like it's more so, I look forward to, because I think it's more so gonna be like the garden state, like the beginning of creation. And I can't tell you a lot of point to you personally scriptures, but just listening to smart people talk, I lean towards that. It's like a productive, sinless, great society that, or a place. Yeah, I don't know.
The picture that we have in scripture that is most notably described as a paradise is the Garden of Eden. And when Jesus describes heaven as paradise, that gives us that connects those two ideas. Mm. And so the Garden of Eden, this place where God walks with men, this place where there is animals getting along with each other that would normally not get along with each other. And there's a plethora of fruit and like everything is fruitful. That is a picture. It's not exactly what heaven will be, but that is a picture of what we're getting back to when we go to heaven.
Right. I think the Simpsons nailed it when...
they usually do.
When Homer pulls the bacon right off the pig and it's ready to eat and the pig just walks along on his way.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know?
Yeah.
That's...
There's no sin. There's no pain.
Yeah.
It's just bacon on demand.
Yeah.
That's the second adult cartoon that you have quoted since I've been sitting at this table with you. The first was before we started. But okay. I get a little bit more about you.
Yeah. I think the hardest thing that for me, the hardest thing about, it actually all comes back to this. I only know the current reality, my current reality.
Correct.
So it's hard for me for my brain to grasp, I will not be in this reality forever. The other thing is I don't know what perfection looks like. So like when we talk about, I'm making a new thing, I don't know what no sin looks like.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to picture. I mean, in a way, it's hard for me. That's probably one of the hard hurdles to get over is like, so like, do we just sing like the hills are alive with the sound of music all day long and run through the fields? Or
that a worship song?
Oh, yeah.
We all become Shirley Temple.
Exactly right.
Yeah. I think part of it is because we all enjoy sin a little bit.
Like,
in this world,
sure,
we experience pleasure as a result of sin at some point in our life. And so the idea of going to a place where there is no sin, we start to think, does that mean there's no pleasure? Huh. And so we also can think of times in our lives when we have experienced pleasure as a result of things that are not sinful.
Sure.
And so you just kind of ratchet up the pleasure that you receive from those things that are not sinful. Right. And that's really a lot of what is in heaven.
I think we do a big disservice to the idea of heaven when we think of it as a place of rest.
Yeah.
We are, you know, our lives are designed to worship God here.
Yeah.
We're designed to worship God through our work, through the things we do, through the conversations we have. I don't think that will change much.
Yeah.
I think we may not recognize anything around us from because it's going to be so different, but we're still going to be worshiping God. And I think we worship God through our creation on our own. Mm-hmm. I really don't want to be misquoted as saying that we're going to be gods in heaven. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah. Already clicked it and sent that one out. Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yep.
But yeah, coincidentally, my email is the same as Mike's. So just send those.
Which is?
Send those straight to Mike.
Yeah.
But I think that our worship of God is not just sitting around playing a harp. Mm-hmm. It's in our labor, toil is the word.
We do good work.
And if you can imagine working in a sinless world, where the next day you don't have sore muscles, you get to accomplish things without the negative side effects.
Right.
So, I can't imagine that.
Yeah. Our creativity, our diligence, our victories, our successes—all of those are worship of God. We think heaven is going to be a place of worship, so that must mean it's a 24/7 worship service. No, that does not mean we're all sitting in rows and listening to Mike preach.
It's like a Chris Tomlin concert that never ends.
All day, every day.
I'm not going to stand during the whole thing and clap.
I'll stand for eternity. With my heart wide open.
There we go. Oh,
there we go.
Yeah. All right. And what's that song?
I'll stand.
That's what I was going for. Arms
high, heart abandoned. I'm gonna abandon
heart
my
abandoned.
Heart. I'm gonna abandon it all.
I can't do it. So we do get a couple images in heaven or in scripture of heaven. We have pictures of lions laying with lambs, getting along. We have pictures of pearly gates and golden streets. But I get the sense that none of these are literal descriptions. Like, there's not literally golden streets. It's just saying, you just can't comprehend how good it is. You're trying to compare heaven to the good things that you see in your world, but the best things that you have in your world, the most valuable things in your world, like gold, are like junk in heaven. It's like asphalt. It sounds like a provocative word.
Right.
Because I didn't think we were allowed to
cuss,
use those words. Right. No. But okay.
Yeah. Pavement.
Pavement.
Yeah.
All right.
Not even concrete. It's lower than concrete. There it's pavement.
Wow.
Is what gold is in heaven.
Pavers.
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 Have you ever noticed how old brick roads still hold up?
Oh, yeah.
Like, how come the road outside of my street is covered in potholes?
Right. I want to ask.
We get worse.
I'm going to ask. That's one of the questions I have.
When you get to heaven.
Yeah. Why did the Romans do it better than we did? Why?
The question is, what does heaven look like? The best of what you can think about is just the bottom of the barrel in heaven. It's just so much better.
Yeah, actually, I have not heard that description before.
Yeah.
And that makes more sense to me than, because that is a question I've had. Why would we care if the streets are made of gold?
Right. Yeah.
I don't know why that matters.
We're just driving on it.
Right. I don't know.
It's going to make it easy if I need more money.
Right. And at the same time.
The gold's right there.
Well, true. But at the same time, people sell it as you don't need anything because you'll be in the presence of God. Yeah. Well, yes, that is true. So you're telling me gold streets are like, they're not on par with the presence of God, but it's pretty high. It's 24 karat.
Yeah.
Roads, guys. Yeah. Is that good? I don't know if 24 karat is good.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Is it 2 carats?
It's a Bruno Mars song.
Well, Bruno Mars is base, I think.
Bruno Mars is 24 karat. So.
Is it Bruno Mars?
Yeah, that sounds right.
I
get it. Like that, to that analogy or that explanation is helpful for me to say, like, just picture the best material, the best construction. you don't, it's going to be better than what you can imagine.
Yep.
I like that a lot.
Paul says about heaven, or when Jesus returns, he says, "Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory?" This idea that there will be no death in heaven is powerful because think about, okay, so some of the most enjoyable things I've done in my life have been very risky things. Mm. And it's like, how often can I do this activity before I die? I went skydiving and I'm like, I want to do this all the time. However, statistically, if I do it too many times, I will die. And so what if you could do whatever you wanted to do without the risk of death? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to the extremes. I'm experiencing all the thrills because there's no fear of death. There's no death in heaven.
Oh, yeah. It's almost like heaven is a video game.
Almost.
It's like GTA, but without sin. You just
reset to the...
We are all Mario.
Yeah.
I get a... What's that in Mario where you get infinite lives?
I don't know. I was thinking like the star power.
Up, down, left, left, right, whatever.
Right.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
I think when I picture heaven and I picture it in a... I picture that sense of adventure without consequence. Mm-hmm. So if I miss my handhold going up El Capitan,
mm-hmm.
I'll just start over at the bottom.
Yeah. Do it again.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
free solo.
Yeah. I don't know that it'll be, I truthfully believe it won't be anything like Earth.
Yeah.
Nothing. If we were looking at it now, we'd be like, what is that?
Yep.
I see a bunch of pastel colors, they're really bright, yeah. And we wouldn't recognize anything. But I think the thing that will carry through is our emotions, our sense of accomplishment, our sense of right and goodness. You'd said something about where we'll be forgiven. Part of heaven is being fully forgiven.
Yeah.
So I think that we will not only understand how our sin affected God, mm-hmm. but we will know the relief of God saying, excuse me, I love you. Mm-hmm. And this is what you did, but it's okay. Yeah. And I think that that's very much a powerful sense of heaven,
yeah.
is that forgiveness.
And how exciting will it be when God is able to tell us, yes, that thing that you did caused pain, but here's how I was able to use it for good. We're able to see the full picture of God's big plan and how he was able to take our screw-ups and use them for good. And that's pretty exciting.
Uh-huh.
One thing that you're talking about, our emotions and our feelings carrying over into heaven. A lot of people have this question, how could I possibly enjoy heaven if people that I loved on earth went to hell?
Good question.
And I think it is honestly one of the hardest questions to answer. I think that there are very good answers to that question. But you also, before you answer the question, have to just kind of sympathize with people. Because if you're asking that question, you've experienced some pain. And you've lost somebody, and you've lost them without the guarantee that they are in heaven, and that's painful. And I'm not going to diminish that by trying to answer the question, but I would say, you don't know. You don't know if the person that you're thinking about right now is in hell or is in heaven. You're not the judge. We are not the judge. I'm not the judge. But We read about the thief on the cross, and in his last moment, he's asked Jesus, hey, remember me when you go into your kingdom. Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, the thief on the cross, his family probably doesn't know that in his last moment, he goes from far from God to child of God just before he dies. We don't know what happens in the last moments of somebody's life.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the question itself reveals that we don't recognize how short life on this earth is. I mean, it is compared to eternity.
This is vapor.
Like my kid is very fascinated by the number infinite.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. He wants to talk about infinite all the time. Is infinite bigger than Google?
Right, but how big is infinite, though? Like,
you can't answer that question.
infinite is impossibly big. And that's eternity. Compare the length of your lifetime with infinite, and your lifetime doesn't exist. It's just so the joys that you experience, the relationships that you've built, the things that you did in this world are just over in the blink of an eye. They're so insignificant to the relationships that you're going to build in heaven. On top of that, you would say you cannot build a relationship in this world that could compare to any relationship that you build in heaven, because the relationships that you build in this world are the waters are muddied with sin and with selfishness and with pain and all kinds of other things that cause relationships to not be what they could be.
Right.
In heaven, you will have relationships without any of those deterrents, any of those things that could drag down a relationship. Your own desires and your own selfishness will not come into play in your relationships in heaven. So the relationships that we have, I know they're great. I mean, I love my wife and I love my kids more than I could possibly describe. But I know that in heaven, I will have relationships that will so far overshadow those relationships I can't comprehend. So I don't want to say your relationship with the people you love in this earth will be replaced, but you will experience them to a totally new level. And so what you're reflecting on when you reflect on the pain that you've lost, that of the loss of this loved one, what you're reflecting on is just a glimpse of what you're going to get in heaven. So don't allow that to keep you from looking forward to heaven. It will be so much greater.
Uh-huh. I think speaking to hope for those people that ask that question, God lives outside of time.
Yeah.
There's so many people that have the near-death experience, the after-death experience, whatever you want to call it, that we don't know what happens. We don't know what happens in those final seconds. Those final seconds God could work any kind of a miracle in.
Yeah.
And to take that hope away, I think is wrong. We'll know the answer eventually.
Yeah.
Some things we won't know here. Mm-hmm. We won't. So I think to trust God, trust that He loves, and that He loves all of us. Yep. And that He doesn't want you to mourn a loss. He doesn't want you to be pulled away from people that are important to you. The world does that to us. And the other thing I think about this is there's so many ways we can be pulled from God. Mm. And there's one path that gets us there. And this is just another way. Yep. If I can insert some doubt here and make you think that you're doing something wrong by going to heaven when your brother didn't.
Yep.
Well, you don't know.
Yep.
You don't know. So don't make decisions on your eternity based on something you don't know.
I think it's important to have this conversation because it reminds us to keep planting those seeds. If you love somebody who is not a follower of Christ, keep planting the seeds because you don't know when they're going to sprout. You don't know what's going to come as a result of it and what could happen in the last moment of somebody's life because of something you said. So keep planting the seeds. You quoted The Simpsons. I feel like I get to quote a movie.
South Park.
Well, I wasn't going to go there. I was going to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And when Ronan kills Groot, and Groot is demolished, except for a small little...
Oh, he's the life.
Just a little bit of life.
There.
And they replant that life, and it grows into the new Groot.
Right.
I don't know if you've seen the new
adolescent
Groot. I have not seen the new Groot yet.
Attitude-y Groot.
Yeah, so you're going back to the Avengers Groot. No, okay. The new Guardians of the Galaxy has the full-grown new Groot.
No.
And he's like buffer.
What?
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's working out in that little pot, was he?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
But when he was demolished Fertilizer. By Ronan,
yeah.
You thought he was done for.
Well, the thing is, what didn't kill him made him stronger. What
doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Wow.
So,
I don't remember where you're going with this, but that was fun.
Plant seeds.
Oh, yeah, plant seeds. Right.
Plant seeds because
absolutely.
It may seem like they're not taking root. It may seem like they're not growing in somebody's life because that's sin. That's it. It makes us think that we're strong enough, that I've got the answers. I can't break down my pride enough to allow me to receive the truth that you're telling me. And because I can't tangibly touch it and prove it with scientific. But what it does is when they are in the foxhole, when they are on the deathbed, they're going to be looking for answers that science cannot give them, that their confidence in themselves that cannot give them. And in those last moments, they're going to be looking for answers. Give them those answers before they get to that place.
Yeah.
Plant those seeds.
Right. Don't have the regret.
Yeah. Regrets are bad.
Right.
A person needs to hear something about 7 times before they actually understand what's being told to them. Huh. And before it actually takes root in their heart, it can be up to 300 times that they hear something.
Oh, dang.
So how many times are you going to have to interact with somebody and everybody else interact with that person before they finally realize?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Be diligent.
Have hope.
Yep. I'd like to use the rest of the time to go down, kind of slowly go through, not a timeline, but an order of events that Scripture tells us are going to happen.
Yeah.
Between now in heaven. For those of us, we talked last week about how do I get to heaven? And then for those of us who have gone through the ABCs, have decided that we are going to give our life to Christ, whose hope is found in heaven, what can we look forward to? What's coming next? So step one, obviously, these bodies die.
Mm-hmm.
You will again become dust.
You're right.
You'll go back to the pre-Adam state. And
not A-D-A-M, not A-T-O-M. Right?
A-D-A-M.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
You know, you don't leave the Adam state,
science
right?
Science major.
Right.
So,
thank you, yeah. Science major.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
No, Adam was formed out of the dust of the earth. So that's—
carbon. Matter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what we go back to.
I do have one question, and I don't want to make people upset, but I saw a documentary called Ghost.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. There's some pottery in that movie?
There was pottery in that movie.
In that documentary?
Yeah. Thank you. It was a documentary.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. That's all I mean.
That's all you got.
I really didn't want to say that. I was like, man, yeah. but what about Ghost? He didn't go right away. He hung out for a little bit.
It's not.
Was it the pottery that kept him around, or was it the relationship that kept him around?
I think it was Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh,
or no.
No, that, yeah.
Was it Whoopi Goldberg?
It was Whoopi.
It wasn't long after the pottery was done that he took off.
Right.
You know, so it could have been the pottery.
I don't remember. I'm too young for this, guys.
Yeah,
I don't know what we're talking about.
And that different movie.
I only watched half of that movie.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure either.
So
what happens when we die? Do we make pottery?
I'm going to move on now. Okay. Speaking of clay.
Yeah. Oh, that was nice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Scripture tells us that our bodies will die, but we'll talk about this in a minute, but we will receive new bodies. So we are not, in other words, you are not your body. Your body is physical matter that is allowing you to do what God put you in this world to do, but that is not who you are. You are more than your body. Now, your body is part of your soul. It is part of who you are, but it is only part of who you are. And that part of who you are will die so that another part can resurrect, so that a new body can be given birth. And we see evidence of this in Jesus. Jesus dies. He resurrects. He looks different when he resurrects. His own friends don't recognize him right away, but he has a physical body. His new physical body can do cool things like walk through walls. That verse still baffles me. Like, does that mean when we get our new bodies, we'll be able to walk through walls? I want to know that.
Yeah, it does.
When I was a kid, I always wanted to know if I could fly when I get my new body.
Like, why not?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So the idea is that, and Scripture tells us that we are going to have jobs in heaven, that we're going to have responsibilities. We're still going to have a purpose. Like, it's not like you go and you watch movies all the time in heaven. You're still going to have purpose.
Well, how many good G-rated movies are out there? You know?
They only have G-rated movies.
Well, it has to be Sinless Movie.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So we can watch Schindler's List. Is that a G? Is that, that's a Christian.
Gosh.
It's not G-rated.
Might be able to watch it.
Maybe. I don't know.
It'll be rough.
Yeah. I just hope that they have...
I'm assuming it's a different Hollywood in heaven.
Okay.
And that's fair.
I'm just...
Yeah. Pure flicks.
That's an assumption.
Yeah.
So these bodies die. And then after these bodies, Paul says, the body that is sown perishable, so these dying bodies, it is raised imperishable. Hmm. Then what happens is our soul goes to be with God. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. So your spirit goes to be with God. We would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. Again, we talked earlier about the thief on the cross who says, remember me when you go into your kingdom. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. Mm. To be absent from the body is to be present with God. It's this idea that my body dies, but I'm going to get to be present with God. And throughout Scripture, that's the constant you get. You get different pictures of what heaven looks like. But the constant is being with God, or being in heaven means being with God. That's what heaven is. It's presence with God. Mm. Third thing is, Jesus will return to earth. Of all the eschatological theories, that means what's going to happen in the end of when this world comes to an end.
Yep.
Of all those theories, there's really one constant. They all agree that Jesus is coming back.
Gosh.
That there is going to be a return of Christ. Now, they all disagree on when it's going to happen, sure, and what events are going to lead up to it, and all of those, and we obviously have opinions on that, but
yeah, see, if they all agree on that thing, you should pretty much count on that happening.
I say that because I went through this list yesterday, and somebody came up to me, and he was like, man, you went controversial. You pulled out some... So apparently people disagree on this stuff, but I think most of the things I'm saying are pretty universally accepted among eschatologists. Mm-hmm. So Jesus will return to earth. Paul says to the Thessalonians, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. And this, we assume this means we're getting our new bodies.
Okay.
I think this is an appropriate time to have the conversation of cremation.
Oh, that's a...
You guys going to get cremated? I get buried? Probably.
That's the trend.
Yeah.
Most people are wanting to be cremated these days.
I think the last three funerals I've done have been cremations.
My father was cremated.
Yeah. Which 50 years ago was just unheard of. You don't cremate your body.
No, actually, our family's had discussions about this.
Yeah? They come to the conclusion of...
Well, because our dad was saying he'd be cremated, and my grandma's saying, but what about your body?
Yeah. What's going to happen to it?
Like, if we will be raised from the dead, don't you think that would be helpful to have? And I don't know where we've settled on it, but it's, I remember as a kid thinking, that's a good question. I mean, so.
What I mean, the reality is whether you burn your body to make it dust or you allow it to naturally become dust, it's going to decompose.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to become dust. I mean, I don't think Paul the Apostle is worried about whether or not he had his body cremated or not.
No, I don't think so.
Like it's dust right now.
Right.
One way or the other. And so, granted, the Catholics have a strong feeling about this one, and they would argue against the idea of cremation. Mm-hmm. So I get the argument against it, but I think if Jesus is able to raise us from the dead and give us new bodies, it does not matter how many parts our bodies are in.
We're not advocating either way.
Yeah.
But we are saying if someone has been cremated, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Right.
If somebody dismembered you before they killed you,
right,
I think God can remember you.
I just think once...
Oh, that's... I like that one.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, God will remember.
Tagline.
Mm-hmm.
Trademark.
That's... You got that one. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think if... What if you went down with the Titanic and then the ship actually fell on you and you're pinned to the bottom of the ocean?
What if?
Can you still make it?
I'll ask God when I get to heaven.
There's this guy like, yeah, that was me. Pours water out of his boot. No. That doesn't go along with anything you just said, but...
I would just say it does not matter the...
Condition of your body.
Condition of your body.
If you're making it... Yeah, because if you're getting a new...
You're getting a new one.
If you're getting a new one, right.
Yeah.
So the it says Jesus returns first, the dead in Christ will rise. We get our new bodies. Apparently these new bodies can rise. We do have the picture. They can fly. We can fly. We have the evidence. Jesus ascends into heaven.
Sure.
And so Jesus is ascending into heaven. We will get our new bodies. We will ascend to heaven and meet him in the sky. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth, you notice Paul thought he would still be alive. He was wrong. We'll be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever.
Okay.
The imagery here is a lot of people think we rise, the rapture idea that I believe is not biblical. The rapture idea or the left behind dispensational idea is that we are raptured and we go to heaven. This imagery to me seems much more obviously that we are going to meet Christ to usher him to earth. We are not, in fact, in scripture, there is a very different thing between the air and heaven.
Huh.
The air is lower than heaven in biblical language.
Right.
And so if we are rising to meet God in the air or in the sky, we are not ascending all the way to the heavens. We are going to meet God in the Jesus in the sky in order to usher him back to earth. The imagery, I mean, all throughout history, there has been this tradition of a king goes off to battle. If he wins the battle, then his subjects, his citizens, his people come out to meet him before he returns to the city to celebrate and usher him back into the city. So this is the imagery that Paul is pulling from. It's the people, the citizens of the king's domain go out to meet him after winning this victory and usher him back to the new earth. And somehow the new heaven and the new earth are the, apparently we can fly between the two, are what we call heaven. It's this recreated place of what we call heaven. What is that battle that Jesus has won in order to justify this going to meet him in the sky and ushering him home? Revelation tells us that the last enemy to be destroyed is death. So when Jesus returns, he is destroying, he is winning this final decisive blow against the final enemy, death. Death is destroyed, sin is no more, and heaven is established. Mm-hmm. Agreed?
Yeah, okay, yeah, but now I'm hung up on, then together with them, we who are still alive.
Yeah.
Is that like collective we who are followers of Jesus?
Yeah.
Or did he really, I mean, because obviously, I mean, we don't know if, maybe Paul didn't know when the Lord was coming back, because we just said.
Yeah. You're asking a very controversial question.
Well, I bet I am.
Yep.
Yeah, but. Yeah,
thanks, yes. Mitch.
Welcome.
So,
I'm not trying to put you a spot. It's just, that is interesting.
There is, some would say that Paul was mistaken, because we have many, all throughout the New Testament, you have Jesus will return soon language.
You hear that a lot. You do hear that.
Yep. Revelation opens up with,
yes,
this is happening soon. So the post-millennialists would say, when they said soon, they were talking about not the return of Christ, but some other events that were going to happen. Namely, most of them would say, when they say soon, they're talking about the events that happened in 70 AD. So Rome attacks Jerusalem, destroys the temple. And when they're talking about soon events, they're talking about those events. So they were soon. They were very soon, like right after he wrote this.
Right.
That like he barely hit send on the email before the Romans are attacking.
Okay.
That is a strong argument.
Sure.
In my opinion. Others would say when the only alternative you really have is that when they say soon, these things will return soon, and they are saying these events are pointing toward the return of Christ, you have to just say, well, they were wrong. Like, they thought it was soon, but they were wrong.
Okay.
And once you begin saying that the authors of the New Testament are wrong...
Gosh, you're like, well...
It gets tricky.
Yeah.
Like, when can you say they're wrong?
Right.
And some would go as far as to say, well, this book, he's writing from his humanity. Like, it's authoritative because it's historical, but it's not authoritative because he was not inspired to write what he was writing. And so those people who begin going down the line of saying sometimes the authors are wrong.
That's mad.
It's tricky.
I don't want to be walking on that slope. Yeah.
But you, a lot of, I'm not saying, I mean, a lot of very intelligent scholars take that line. In fact, about half of the pastors that are writing popular books in America right now take that.
Yeah.
Take that
belief. Sure.
And so, that's the argument that we go back and forth. What did they mean when they said soon? When I personally think when Paul says we, I think what he's actually saying is we Christians, we the church.
Yeah, we the followers of
And
we the church, the body.
Right. It is not. He's not literally saying me, I personally, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying we, the body of Christ,
yeah.
will go to meet Jesus and also those who have just immediately before this resurrected. We're all going to meet up in heaven and have this awesome celebration moment. You can kind of picture, this is the triumphal entry. Jesus is riding into Jerusalem on the donkey. They're all waving palm branches.
Mm.
That is a symbol of a victorious leader. Right. This palm branch waving is a symbol. You have won. You are now our leader. We're reenacting that moment.
Yeah.
And we are all coming to earth to enjoy. There's also this imagery of the earth being burnt. So the flood happens, and there's a rainbow put in the sky that says, never going to destroy the world again in this way.
Mm-hmm. In this way.
But then we get imagery of there being some kind of consuming fire, whether that's a metaphorical fire or a literal fire. The idea is that this earth is burnt. And so maybe that's how the sea goes away, or I don't know if the sea goes away literally or that's metaphorical. I don't know.
Yeah.
But many scholars would say, it is in that moment that when we rise to meet Jesus in the sky, that is when the earth is burnt and recreated. And maybe we get to watch this spectacle from heaven. I don't know. Some people would say that the burning of the earth is when those who are not Christians experience the torment of the flames of hell, and that the burning of those who are not Christians is not an eternal punishment, but an event in which the earth and everybody on it who is not a Christian is burnt, is killed. The argument there is the gift of God, the gift of salvation is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a Christian, you receive eternal life.
Right.
Whereas if you are not a Christian, you have an ending. There is a punishment. Everybody agrees there's a punishment.
Right.
But some would say the punishment is an eternal punishment. We're going to talk about this more in two weeks.
Yeah, this is coming up.
Others would say that punishment is a single event punishment. Mm. Of hell.
Gosh.
So we're going to kind of weigh those two arguments next week.
Okay.
Sorry, I went way down that rabbit
trail. Great. That's great.
You did.
Yeah, I did.
You did.
So this event happens, and I kind of skipped over this one, and then there is a judgment that happens. Many would say only the non-Christians are judged, that the judgment is only for them. Others would say we all stand before the throne and are judged. Others would say, and that second option is kind of the one that I think is correct. Others would say there's two different judgment thrones. So in Scripture we have the Bema, the Bema throne, or the Christ throne, and then you also have the Great White Throne judgment.
Okay.
And so are these two the same throne judgments, or is there two different throne judgments? Some would say the Bema seat judgment is the Christian judgment. Others would say the Great White Throne is the non-Christian judgment.
Okay.
Anyway, there is a judgment of all people. I don't know all the details about how it's going to happen, where it's going to happen, what it's going to look like. But here's what I do know. The author of the Hebrews says, and just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment, So also Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again not to deal with our sins, which is strange. Why would you have a judgment but not a dealing with sins?
It's a good question.
The idea is that the sins have already been dealt with.
Right.
We're just going through the formality of the judgment now.
Sure.
But it's all already happened. Not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him.
Hmm.
I love the bringing salvation imagery. Mm-hmm. All right. You guys need to jump in here because I'm just talking.
No, this is great.
Yeah. Jump in when you got something.
Yeah, I think that, we touched on it a little bit earlier, but seeing your sin and seeing the forgiveness of your sin, I think that has to come full circle for me.
Mm-hmm.
To experience that peace of heaven, I have to know that God, we know that God saw everything, mm-hmm. but we're still human. We're going to be thinking, yeah, but what if he finds out about this?
Yep.
So, hence the clips you used on Sunday.
Yeah.
So.
The Good Place.
Yeah, The Good Place. Very interesting take on
I would the like afterlife. To eat a white chocolate shrimp from a shrimp vending machine.
I think that shrimp from a shrimp vending machine would probably be horrible.
Yeah, but it's a heavenly shrimp.
If the only place to do it would be in heaven.
Right. Definitely. I don't recommend it in like a strip mall or like a buffet. Yeah. I wouldn't do it there.
Run from that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Drive through. Hey, right. Try our shrimp
gas station
machine. So, yeah.
I don't know. I'm all for it. Even the fake shrimp stuff that you get at in the freezer aisle at Walmart. I'm good with even that.
Yeah. I don't like any seafood. So,
okay.
It's rough.
I love it all. I like bad seafood. I think what you're describing is an awesome picture of sanctification. Because we see sanctification as this ongoing salvation that happens. For a long time, the church talked about salvation as an event that happens at the beginning of when we pray a prayer. At the beginning of a relationship with God is salvation. John Wesley talked about salvation as an ongoing, he called it sanctification, an ongoing salvation. And this idea here, kind of what you're talking about, to bring salvation, it's like the fruition. It is like the full-blown salvation has finally come to completion. That, to me, is an emotional thought.
Yeah.
That journey of sanctification has a climax. It has a victory moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he did it. Like,
mm-hmm.
I've been on this journey. It's been hard. I've gone through the struggle. I've gone through the persecution or whatever it is that we're going to face in our life. But it comes to an end when God brings salvation.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
There's another interesting thing. The discussion around the believers who have died will rise from their graves.
Mm-hmm.
The thought that when we die, we're kind of put on hold. Mm. So been through three surgeries where I had to be put to sleep. Each one, the same first words out of my mouth. And I imagine it'll go like this. If it's an on hold thing, it'll be like this when I die. First thing I'm going to ask is, are they done? You know, because you go to sleep and you wake up and no time has passed.
Right.
And it's very disorienting.
Did you do it?
All of a sudden you're in the recovery room and you're like, are they still cutting and sticking their fingers inside me?
Right.
Because I don't want to be awake right now.
Could you put me back to sleep if they're not done?
Yeah, absolutely. And but the thought of, you know, somebody that's dead, this is the first time they rise to see and receive their new body. I don't know if there's theories out there on that.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard the discussion of it, and I don't have any theological backing on it. But
most scholars that I'm reading now say that there is an interim state. Now, probably not purgatory, but some kind of interim state between my physical death, the death of my body, and the receiving a new body.
Hmm.
And there are all kinds of theories, and I am not an expert on what does that interim state look like, but it seems to be a spiritual presence with God.
Yeah.
That those that you love now, that have or those that you love have that have passed away are now with God in some kind of interim state.
Wow.
And that's why we have the idea of a new heaven. Like there is some kind of heaven now, but the new one's going to be different than the current heaven. I tend to think that that's true.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I was going to say something else, but I don't think we have time for
it. Well,
save it for next
week. Yeah, we can save it for next week. We got a lot of heaven talk coming up in the coming weeks.
We do talk a lot about heaven and Jesus and stuff.
Preach
God
it.
And things.
That's right. As we should.
Oh, that's true. That's true. That's very true.
Yeah, thanks for joining us today, Richard.
Absolutely. It's been fun.
Yeah, thanks, man.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks for going to work early.
Absolutely.
For us.
Yeah. And thank you guys for joining us online. Again, please like, subscribe, share to get the word out. That helps us get the message out there. And also, if you didn't like it, would you please hit the thumbs down button twice for good measure?
And you should know that Jesus loves you unconditionally, and he died to give you new life.